Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January the 29th. And after hearing that weather forecast, many of us wish that we were in Florida today, the site of the Republican presidential primary and the site of our guest this hour. She'll talk with us about the Florida primary a bit and how President Bush's State of the Union address is going to be playing on the campaign trail. And we will welcome your reactions, too, to President Bush's last State of the Union address. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Susan McManus is a distinguished professor of political science at the University of South Florida, and we are very pleased that she could be with us. A very busy schedule these days. Professor McManus, good morning.
Good morning, and it is a little bit warmer here than there, I'm sure.
It certainly is. We're going to get socked again with below zero weather and lots of snow. It's been one for the books here in Wisconsin. Well, it's one for the books in terms of this presidential race, too. You've been very, very busy. This is an important day, especially for Republicans in Florida.
Republicans and Democrats, but Republicans have gotten all the attention, obviously, because their delegates, at least half of their delegates, will count. And they've been here just combing the state from top to bottom. They've had three national debates in Florida since October. They have certainly had a presence in our state, and it's right down to the wire. Nobody can predict. Every poll is within margin of error. It's, again, Florida.
Yeah, that's right. It's Mitt Romney and John McCain are essentially tied for first, right?
That's correct. And Giuliani and Huckabee aren't really that far behind. And everything, of course, at this point hinges on turnout.
Yeah. And you said that it's important for Democrats, too. It is now, actually, Hillary Clinton is talking about trying to get the delegates released, even though both Democrats were not campaigning in Florida because of the Democratic National Committee sanctioned the state for moving the primary up?
That's correct. And Hillary Clinton sent out a campaign press release last week saying that it was her intent to have the delegates from both Michigan and Florida who violated the rules and went early to have the delegates seated at the National Convention. And there's not a person in Florida that doesn't believe that that's going to happen, regardless of who the nominee is.
Yeah. Well, our last guest, our last political scientist who was talking with us about the State of the Union address last night and how this might play out on the presidential campaign trail, mentioned that what he thought was happening in Florida today was not only is this, he thought, a race between Mitt Romney and John McCain, but about the issues of Iraq and national security being John McCain's strong point and the economy being Mitt Romney's strong point. Do you see it that way?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that the Republicans here are so neck and neck is that Florida Republicans are quite diverse. They're not the overly dominated social conservatives that you see in other states. They're very spread out between moderates, liberals, well, not so many liberals, but moderates and conservatives. Mm-hmm. And they, generally, we describe Florida as a state that's fiscally conservative and socially moderate.
Yeah. Well, what was your take, your general impression of the last State of the Union address from President Bush?
One of the things that struck me was the consistency of his message throughout his entire administration, particularly after 9/11. And that's, of course, something that's important down the way for your legacy. You either make it or break it, obviously, depending on what context, how the war will unfurl and how the war on terrorism will be regarded. But consistency is probably his hallmark. I did think it was very interesting that he chose to, of course, pick the economy first and foreign policy second. But he wanted to end on the thing that he knows that his administration will be judged on most, and to point out that some progress has been made.
Yeah. Might he have focused on the economy first, because that is first in the minds of many Americans right now?
Absolutely. And both the president and Congress are really sort of scrambling to make sure that they do something, because when people get angry and stressed about their pocketbook, they really take it out on government. And right now, neither the president nor Congress can afford any more negativity on the part of the voters, because they are in the below 20% approval rating. And I think that's one of the reasons that Congress quickly jumped, at least the House, to pass the economic stimulus package, is because they all face re-election themselves, and they know how much the public is stressed economically and wants to hear about that issue and see action.
Yeah. Well, the Senate, though, is apparently not heeding his advice and is going to be discussing adding stuff to this economic stimulus package, like extension of unemployment benefits and other things. What do you think?
It just, again, is not a good thing for the imagery of Congress, which has a do-nothing kind of image right now. If it's weeks and weeks and weeks that they argue about this, then the voters will just say it's the same old story there, and it's all talk and no action. And that is the formula for massive incumbent defeat.
We are talking about last night's State of the Union address by President Bush and reaction to that address, and how the issues raised in the address are playing out on the presidential campaign trail. Our guest is Susan McManus, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida, where Republicans in particular are voting today in the primary. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. President Bush last night urged quick Senate action on the $150 billion economic stimulus package. And in his final State of the Union address, he served notice that he does not want to see it loaded up with extras like rebates for senior citizens living off Social Security and extensions of unemployment benefits for the jobless. He also last night threatened to veto any spending bill that does not cut in half the number of pet projects or earmarks. President Bush says he will send Congress a budget that terminates or substantially reduces wasteful or bloated programs. We welcome your questions and comments about the State of the Union address and reaction to it for our guest, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up a little later today, more reaction of the State of the Union from Ben Marins and his guest political scientist after 4 o'clock. He'll be talking with John Peavyhouse, who formerly with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, probably focusing a little bit more on the foreign policy issues after 4 o'clock. We're talking with Susan McManus, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida, about the State of the Union address and reaction to it, and we welcome your reaction to it at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We'll also play some clips from the address and some Republican reaction. We have the reaction from Republicans John McCain and Mitt Romney that we'll be playing for you in just a moment. But let's go to the phones first. Andy in Lake Geneva. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I firmly believe that all of the candidates, including our current president, are focused on the donut hole and not on the donut. The country is rapidly losing control of its own destiny. This consistent hemorrhaging that's been taking place between the deficit and the trade deficit cumulatively have put the control of this country's financial destiny in the hands of foreigners. And this is brought out in spades with the recent fiascos on Wall Street and the fact that foreign governments, not Americans, have essentially had to put up the money to shore the capital base of our key financial institutions. Hillary Clinton summed up what all these candidates are missing by saying she was concerned, this was several months ago, she was concerned with the fact that the Chinese own so much of our debt, and she came out with the pronouncement that we should put a cap on what the Chinese can own, not realizing the fact that that they're the only ones that are essentially buying our government debt, and if anybody stops buying it, you're going to see interest rates skyrocket. So we're dealing with a complex economic situation here, totally above the heads of all the candidates, including George Bush, and effectively the Congress.
Yeah.
And the reality is that the American people realize this by the approval rating being so low.
Your reaction to that, Professor McManus?
Well, Andy's really on to something, and it is starting to be articulated somewhat by candidates, but the problem is, and he's quite right, it is a complex issue, and with Americans' sad elementary understanding of economics, it makes it difficult to really project the problem area. I think probably Ron Paul has talked about it a bit more than the other candidates, but it's certainly an issue that has major ramifications for the national economy.
Yeah. Well, President Bush, as mentioned last night, did call on the Senate to quickly pass the economic stimulus package that the White House reached agreement with the House last week. Didn't want it loaded up with extras and other additional spending, wanted it to be passed quickly. Reaction to the State of the Union from Mitt Romney. He was appearing on CNN's Anderson Cooper 360.
In addition to the short-term effects that the president spoke about, I'd move very aggressively on some of the long-term growth effects. My plan, for instance, says that we should remove the tax on savings for middle-income and modest-income citizens. That would make a huge difference. I'd also lower the corporate tax rate, getting corporations to invest more in this country and to stay in this country. These kind of features would make a difference. And finally, one more thing. I think people 65 and older should not have payroll taxes taken out of their wages. To allow folks to stay in the workforce and to keep more of their income, they've paid for Social Security already. Let's build our workforce and not have to go outside the country to bring in immigrants. Let's let our own people keep more of their money and stay in the workforce.
Well, that last part sounded focused toward older Americans. Sounded like that was targeted to Florida, do you think, Professor McManus?
Yes, but there is a stereotype about Florida's the age of Florida's electorate, and actually most of the electorate is between 45 and 64. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I heard there, which I also heard at the Boca Raton debate the other night, which I covered for one of the stations here, was that Republicans are really starting to talk about more of a protectionist approach. Keep American jobs at home. No more offshore sending of jobs. And I think that's a change in the Republican message that we haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah. And here's John McCain, again, responding to the State of the Union address and President Bush's talk about the economic stimulus package.
I think it's a good thing. Obviously, it can't be written in a vacuum. There's some things I would have changed. But the fact is that we should pass it quickly. And I worry about the Senate adding billions of dollars worth of pork in it. But I think time is very, very important right now to get it done and then get on to other measures in order to get our economy in much better shape.
A reaction to that, Professor McManus?
Well, McCain on the campaign trail here in Florida has really been stressing this out-of-spending, out-of-control spending issue and the emphasis on pork. So in terms of the appeal of the two candidates in the state that's a very fiscal conservative state, McCain does get some big marks from high marks from people who are concerned about the deficit, and they are very much behind him, his supporters, in terms of this problem of earmarking and pork. So both have an economic message. It's just one sort of appeals to the tax side of people, i.e. Romney, and the other to the spending side and spending control, i.e. McCain.
Yeah. How much is McCain, do you think, going to be hurt by those comments? I believe they came up in that debate you covered that don't know much about the economy. I know more about national security.
As you might expect, Romney's made hay of that. Mm-hmm. And they've both, after that debate, which was sort of a refreshing debate in a way after the terrible exchanges of a personal nature between Hillary Clinton and Obama, the Republicans in their debate seemed above it all and really focused on issues. But that lasted about 10 seconds. And then we got right into this nasty exchange between McCain and Romney, each of them picking something that the other person had articulated that would seemingly anger Florida voters enough to vote for their opponent. So we'll see.
I also wanted to get you to react to the Democratic response last night to President Bush's State of the Union address. For that, Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius was tapped to give the Democratic response.
We heard last week and again tonight that Congress and the President are acting quickly on a temporary targeted stimulus package. That's encouraging. But you and I know that a temporary fix is only the first step toward meeting our challenges and solving our problems. There's a chance, Mr. President, in the next 357 days to get real results and give the American people renewed optimism that their challenges are the top priority. Working together, working hard, committing to results, we can get the job done.
Do you think there is a chance in this next year to get any jobs done?
Yes, I do, because there's an urgency of working together, which she articulated about it. However, I think when you temper your commentary with, well, it's only a temporary fix, you know, people want something right now. I think that's the message that these Congress members are really sort of starting to get, but they're not getting it enough. And the delays will just make everything else impossible down the way. But I thought in terms of presentation that her presentation was one of the best ones I've seen in a very long time. She was calm. She wasn't shouting. She wasn't attacking. I can understand why she is a popular Democrat in a Republican state, because she represents what Americans are searching for, which is reasoned discussion without shouting and attacking.
Yeah. Let's go to Roger in Milwaukee. Hi, Roger.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good morning to your guest. One thing that really bothered me last night about I'm a Republican and I voted for Bush in both elections, and I don't know where I'm going this way this year. But the fact that he stirred up the hornet's nest again with Iran, we need to focus on ourselves and not on Iran. Sure, they may be causing problems over there in Iraq, but it's because of our presence and what we're doing. And it's frustrating that we have so much focus, or he had so much focus on that. Yes, that's what his presidency is going to be remembered as, but is it necessary to continue to stir up the hornet's nest, and how are the candidates going to deflect this from themselves at this point? So I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Professor McManus?
Roger reflects something that, again, the Republican candidates are sensing is a little bit more isolationism on the part of Republicans than in the past. However, that said, you have to talk about Iran, because when such a high percentage of both parties' voters say that there is a potential for another attack and that they worry about the security of the United States, Iran comes to mind, and I think the candidates have to talk about it, whether the voters really want to hear much about it or not. It just wouldn't be credible to not talk about Iran when you talk about foreign policy.
We'll talk more about what the president had to say about foreign policy as we continue examining his last State of the Union address. We'll hear what he had to say about Iraq coming up after the news, and also take more of your calls with questions and reactions to what was said. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Susan McManus, a professor of political science at the University of South Florida. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday, January the 29th at 7:36. We are examining and analyzing President Bush's last State of the Union address last night and the reaction to it. President Bush, among other things, said last night that while the U.S. troops in Iraq are hitting enemies in Iraq hard, they are still not defeated and there will be tough fighting ahead. In his State of the Union speech, President Bush said American troops are shifting from leading operations to partnering with Iraqi forces and eventually to a protective overwatch mission.
When we met last year, our troop levels in Iraq were on the rise. Today, because of the progress just described, we are implementing a policy of return on success, and the surge forces we sent to Iraq are beginning to come home. This progress is a credit to the valor of our troops and the brilliance of their commanders. This evening, I want to speak directly to our men and women on the front lines, soldiers and sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardmen. In the past year, you have done everything we've asked of you, and more. Our nation is grateful for your courage. We are proud of your accomplishments. And tonight in this hallowed chamber, with the American people as our witness, we make you a solemn pledge. In the fight ahead, you will have all you need to protect our nation.
We welcome your thoughts and questions on what the president had to say last night in his State of the Union address, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Susan McManus, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida. And your take on what the president had to say about Iraq. The surge, he says, is a success, but We have to bring troops home carefully based on success.
Well, it's been, again, a consistent message of his. I think the most encouraging dimension of his discussion was the potential to bring some more troops home, and that's what Americans want to hear. I think a lot of Americans are cognizant of the fact that you can't pull out everybody. I mean, even Democratic candidates have pointed out you have to leave some there to care for embassy personnel, etc. But the troops and caring for the troops was one of those issues that Democrats and Republicans alike rose to their feet and practically saluted the commander-in-chief, because you do not want to give the image that you're anti-troops in an election year, or ever for that matter. It's an unforgiving thing to do if you're not respectful of the troops.
Yeah. Is this protective overwatch mission, that's not new, you say?
Not really. I mean, from the get-go, there's been discussion about having to have some troops there. And the analogies are used that we have troops all over the world in places that we've fought wars in the past. And that's sort of a preventive and just a basic caretaking kind of operation. But it's not engaged in combat. And I think that's the aim here, is that ultimately that will be the position that our troops will be in Iraq and the Middle East. Yeah. But peace in the Middle East was another thing that brought both parties to their feet, that they really would love for that to happen.
Yeah. Let's go to Kyle in Lake Geneva. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
I just have a very small observation that I made. In some of the articles and commentary that came out this morning regarding the State of the Union, I've seen a story that when President Bush mentioned bringing home 20,000 troops, you could see behind him Speaker Pelosi saying under her breath, you could read her lips, saying, "That's not enough." Now, we obviously don't know if that's actually what she said, but I found this tiny little 5-second section of the State of the Union very interesting, and I wanted to know if the professor had heard of this, and ask her if it reflects the obvious disconnect between the executive and the legislative branches.
Can you read lips, Professor McManus?
There's been a lot made of this, particularly on talk radio and on some of the cable stations covered it. It's inconclusive to look at what she was saying. And, of course, the notion that there's a little bit of tension between the executive and the legislative goes back to the beginning of the country. It's something you always see. But I did not see any conclusive commentary on the part of Speaker Pelosi to that effect.
Speaker Pelosi seemed to be, sucking on a throat lozenge or something through some of it. I saw some close-ups that I don't know what she was doing with her lips.
Well, it's very difficult to be up there when you know the camera's on you at every single second. You need to clear your throat. You need to if you have dry lips, do something about that. I mean, certainly Ms. Constance can understand that.
Absolutely. You know? I'm not going to. He said he looks forward to bringing home more than 20,000 troops, but many will note that that's still, that doesn't even bring us to pre-surge levels.
Well, that's true. And he mentioned some other, beyond that, some potential, not a military expert, but bringing home more than that down the way, and mentioned a certain number of battalions, et cetera.
Right.
But nonetheless,
Americans want to hear that something is happening on that front. This is the message that I hear all the time in speaking with Floridians. Of course, the politicians have whipped Floridians into a frenzy. People want action on the things that are troubling them the most, the war on Iraq and the economy. And nothing short of something happening is going to be enough for them.
Yeah. President Bush noted, as a part of the transition, one Army Brigade combat team and one Marine expeditionary unit have already come home and will not be replaced. He said in coming months, four additional brigades and two Marine battalions will follow suit. He cautioned, though, that any further drawdown of U.S. troops will be based on conditions in Iraq and the recommendations of our commanders. Tony in Juneau is next. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to express my disappointment on that speech yesterday. Now, I got to say, it really sounded good. There was clapping and clapping, and who couldn't clap based on everything he said yesterday, because it sounded so good. It sounded like the perfect agenda for somebody to have done over the past 7 years, but I was in the bathroom puking because he hadn't done any of that stuff.
Mm. Well, I guess I want to comment on a legacy, or, you know, this is the seventh State of the Union speech.
Well, obviously, when you get to the seventh year, you are obviously a lame duck, and people know that. And there's a little bit less enthusiasm about listening to the speech. I haven't seen the numbers, but my guess is it was down considerably from previous years. And there's a lot more criticism of what could have been. I mean, that's the normal pattern for any president. But there is also the fact of the matter is that, you know, sometimes people say they really would like to have the executive branch controlled by one party and the legislative by the other. So we've had both kinds, or other times they say, well, other people would say, I'd like both of them controlled by the same party so something can get done. The problem here has been that under neither circumstance, which President Bush has had, you know, the Congress of his own party, and then now the Congress controlled by Democrats, and people are still frustrated that nothing's getting done. And part of the reason is the margin of control in Congress is so narrow that people dig in their heels and focus on the R and the D after their name instead of really trying to get some kind of bipartisan approach to things, because they don't want to lose power, or they're close to getting it. And that's the scenario we're in right now, is nobody's really willing to say, I'm going to disdain party, because party in Congress is how you maintain committee chairs, et cetera.
Yeah. One other issue that the president brought up last night, and I wonder if you think this is, if we even care, President Bush urging Congress last night to deal with No Child Left Behind, that No Child Left Behind is bringing results and needs to be continued and renewed and strengthened.
There's probably not as much attention on education right now, because obviously two other things trump the more domestic policy issues, and that, of course, is the pocketbook and security. I mean, when you have concerns about both of those to the degree that Americans are facing right now, some of the other kinds of domestic policy, while important, don't seem to be quite as urgent. And I think that's true with the No Child Left Behind. People have very strong opinions about it. Probably going to be difficult for anybody to change people's minds. If you're adamantly opposed to it, you're adamantly opposed to it, and the converse is true as well.
Yeah. We will check our weather forecast and then continue taking your reactions to and your questions for Susan McManus, a distinguished professor of political science at the University of South Florida, talking about President Bush's final State of the Union address last night and how various politicians are reacting to it, and how the issues raised in the address are playing out on the presidential campaign trail. Susan McManus in Florida, where the important Florida GOP primary is taking place today. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 29th. Stay with us. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will welcome in someone with another perspective on the State of the Union, the Bush administration, and Bush's presidential legacy. John Nichols joins us, associate editor of the Capital Times and a correspondent for The Nation magazine. So we will continue our examination of this State of the Union after 8 o'clock this morning. We're talking with Susan McManus for the rest of this hour, professor of political science at the University of South Florida, also the co-author of the book Politics in Florida. She's watching all the politics in Florida these days with the GOP presidential primary today. And I wonder if you want to comment on the story we heard in the news just before we started this segment, Professor McManus, that Rudy Giuliani is still expecting to win today in Florida, even though the polls show him in whatever, tied for third with Mike Huckabee, but that he might drop out if he doesn't.
Well, you certainly have heard those stories a lot. He is not that far behind, actually, and he's banking everything on the fact that he has targeted very high turnout voters, super voters that routinely vote in primaries. And, of course, that's a lot of people don't bother to vote in the primary. And, of course, he's targeted New Yorkers and Northeasterners heavily. And so he is counting on the fact that, low turnout might take away votes from the other candidates, and he also is shown in polls to have the most consistently supportive. None of his voters, or very few, say that they're going to vote for somebody else today. In contrast, the Romney and McCain voters say they could still change their minds. So Giuliani's got the hardcore, high turnout voters behind him, and that's what he's banking on. Now, let me say one more thing, Joy. We have a Democratic primary here today, too. And the Florida Democratic primary, Democratic Party has put out a lot of notices and press releases pointing out that more Democrats have already voted in the Democratic primary with Hillary and Obama and John Edwards than have voted in any of the other states prior. In fact, cumulatively, more voters have already voted in the Democratic primary here than elsewhere. It's just that the delegates aren't going to be seated. At least that's the premise. Nobody believes it. But we're going to have a high turnout, and Hillary Clinton is going to be having a big party tonight in Florida to thank her supporters. And she's hoping to get a lot of momentum out of Florida to sort of keep Obama from having the winner's circle to himself after South Carolina for a whole week. She is expected to win tonight, and she's expected to win big. And let's not forget that, because Florida's Democrats are very angry about the way they've been treated.
I'm thank you for clarifying that. I know that we haven't been paying a lot of attention because of the delegate situation, but you're right. I know that the Clinton campaign was also a bit upset that Barack Obama, in some national ad buy, was advertising in Florida, and the Clinton campaign was putting up a fuss that the Democratic candidates had agreed, at least in the past, to not really spend any time in Florida.
Right, and now, of course, there's a buyer's regret in a way for this decision, because both candidates really need Florida, and they really need campaign contributions heading into February 5th, which is, of course, a huge day with a lot of states. And there's been a lot of Democrats in Florida that have closed their checkbooks until this issue is resolved. So,
yeah. Well, Hillary Clinton is going to want to have a big win in Florida, whether the delegates count or not, after this past week in South Carolina, isn't she?
All right, absolutely. She wants to be able to claim that, look, these other states ahead of Florida aren't as big, aren't as diverse, and she wants to win big in a state that looks more like the big states that follow us on February 5th.
Yeah. Well, I know, Professor McManus, it sounds like it's very, very close on the Republican side, but are you willing to go out on a limb to say that after the vote is counted tonight in Florida, that this is essentially going to turn into a two-person race on each side of the ticket?
You know, I'm not really willing to say that. Mm-hmm. But well, let me point out one other unusual thing. If there's only a less than a half a point percentage separating the first two candidates, the top two candidates, there's, under Florida law, an automatic recount. Now, can you imagine the headlines, Florida, another recount?
Oh, boy.
We're not wanting that, I can assure you, and the candidates don't want it, but it is a possibility.
Mike Huckabee was trying to make a joke in Florida yesterday about vote early, vote often, and get those chads a-hanging or something. Did you pick that one up?
Yeah, we didn't appreciate that, because we haven't had punch card ballots in years. In fact, Florida's even abandoned touchscreen voting machines. So a joke that really didn't play well in Florida. actually.
Right. I bet not. Well, back to the State of the Union and reaction to the State of the Union. But the State of the Union is playing out on the presidential trail, too. Mike in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I thought there was a contradiction with George President Bush's statement, because in one way he's saying cut back the amount of spending and he's saying, you know, he vetoes this, he vetoes that. Yet at the same time he wants to go and spend ungodly amounts of money on that national defense, supplying the military industry. I think that's a big contradiction. And the second contradiction I think is the Democrats got into, they can hate that war in Iraq, and yet they're forced to stand up and applaud the Marines and the Air Force and all this because they don't want to show that they're not supporting the troops. And I think that really puts them, those who oppose that war, in a real precarious position. Yeah. That's my comment.
All right. Professor McManus?
Couldn't agree more with the contradictions, and especially on the spending. I always look at the State of the Union addresses where, you know, time eternal presidents have called for tightening the belt, and yet they'll come up with a laundry list of things to spend more money on, and last night wasn't any exception to that. And, of course, to Mike's point about the Democrats having to stand up to show support for the troops, some of that is of their own making because they have pointed out repeatedly that supporting the troops is not the same thing as supporting the war. However, as he pointed out, the imagery of it on national TV for people who aren't as strategic in their thinking or as informed, mm-hmm. it did look like a big contradiction.
Yeah. John in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd reinforce the last caller's comments. It's always strange for me to hear the talk about Republicans being fiscal conservative. Of course, the last 7 years had more spending than ever, running the country into the worst debt ever. And the president's speech, again, said he would veto any tax increase and then went on to list hundreds of billions of dollars in more spending programs. And, you know, again, so it's more of the borrow and spend policy. And I always ask the question, who is going to pay this bill that we have?
Do you have an answer to that, Professor McManus?
I think he knows the answer to that. Mm-hmm. It's the taxpayers of America. And this is why the economy is such a big issue right now, and there's so many different dimensions to it. Obviously, one is the choice between spending on a war versus domestic choices. There are other things that are more localized but spill up into the presidential race, and the old saying, all politics is local, and Florida is a great example. The economy surfaced here as an issue way back in the 06 governor's race because Florida is being subjected to, you know, high property taxes, rising insurance rates because of the two bad hurricane seasons in a row, and now the mortgage mess and fluctuating gas prices. There's hardly a dimension of a person's pocketbook that's not being sort of under siege in a way. And, you know, so the economy is just such a big issue that, and it has so many facets that it affects everything.
Yeah. One thing we haven't talked a whole lot about, and I just wanted to touch on this, Republican Representative Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin was happy to hear what the president had to say about global warming. I was pleased to hear the president talk about an international agreement that provides a level playing field for the entire world, unlike the Kyoto Treaty, which stacked the decks for countries like India and China. There can be no free ride for climate change. Want to talk about what the president had to say about greenhouse gases?
Well, the environment's a big issue in Florida because people do move to the state because of its environmental pristineness, et cetera, coastal areas, lakes, all the things, and it is a concern. We have a green governor. Governor Chris, like Governor Schwarzenegger, has banked a lot on the fact that Floridians are environmentally conscious. But to the point of fairness and equity, you saw it in two areas, not just the global warming, but also in trade policy, with people saying, why are American products and things treated differently by other countries, and yet we have to open our arms? And the fairness of playing field on the taxation, tariffs, and now global warming is something that I think does resonate with a lot of Americans.
Linda in Pleasant Prairie. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy, and I'd like to talk to your guests, and thank you for taking my call. I actually just wanted to make a comment. When I was watching last night, I don't know if either of you had noticed, but when President Bush brought up health care, and there was an applause, and it went over to Hillary, who had a very forced applause with a very disgusted look on her face. I didn't know if anybody else had seen that.
Yeah, I didn't catch that specific moment, Professor McManus. But
well, I did because obviously, as analysts, we're trained to kind of watch when the candidates are the focus of the camera, and she's always kind of had that problem with looking a little bit dour at moments when it's probably not the best look she could have had. But you know, there again, I mean, can you be frozen with a smile on your face for an hour plus? It's difficult for any human being. And she's tired. I mean, let's be real. These candidates are exhausted, and sometimes we forget that running for office is extremely strenuous. So, I mean, it was true she looked like that, but, you know, you got to give her a little bit of slack about why.
Yeah, some mention was made of, and we're almost out of time, that she did shake Ted Kennedy's hand when he extended it to her, but she and Barack Obama, who Ted Kennedy endorsed earlier in the day, didn't have a lot to say to each other.
And there was one clip where it was Obama was seated next to Ted Kennedy, and they just did one flash on that, but that was another photographic moment that does stick in people's minds.
So you're going to have a long night tonight, Professor McManus?
Yes, I am, and a long day tomorrow.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, always, Joy. Thank you.
Susan McManus, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida, talking with us about the State of the Union address last night and politics in Florida today. Republican and Democratic primary going on. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.